Hello and welcome back to the Digital Orthopedics Podcast. I am Stefano Bini, the host of the podcast, and I'm here today with Douglas Fairbanks, CEO of VZ, who has also been a frequent visitor to DocSF, the conference. He's had some amazing success in the past few years, and we're looking forward to sharing more of that with you today. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey, Stefano, thank you for having us. And we attribute our success in large part because of our relationship with DocSF. So we're really excited to be here today.
Awesome. And again, DocSF, for those who don't know, stands for the Digital Orthopedics Conference San Francisco. We aim to bridge the gap between digital health and clinical orthopedics. And in that format, in that context, VZ is just exactly the kind of technology that we like to bring to our audience. So let's take a little step back for those of you not as familiar, but within orthopedics, arthroplasty is a significant part of our workflow, the things that we do. Within arthroplasty, we've had the advent of robotics, and robotics requires imaging in order for us to enable the cuts of the bone through the bones. And it's always been a little bit of a weak point in the system that we have to place these pins in bone with these reflectors that then tell the software where the bone is in space. And then we have to map a three-dimensional CT image to the surfaces of the bone with these marker trackers and map these various data points in three-dimensional space to then enable the software to create an image of where the bone is in space. So when the robot executes our preoperative plan, they're accurate. There have been many challenges with these pins on or often, but occasionally we'll get fractures through the pin sites. More commonly, the pin sites get infected. That's been a bit of a hassle. On top of that, the cuts, not quite as accurate as we thought they were, and some data is coming to that effect. So we need to rethink the way we evaluate or rethink how we achieve accuracy with robotics. And this is where VZ comes in. So Doug, welcome. Tell us a bit more about how you guys have tackled this really significant problem in orthopedics.
Yeah, thanks, Stefano. We are really excited to be here, and we're really excited to talk about what we've done as a company. Now, let me start really with the basics. What VZ is, it's a company that has designed a new way of three-dimensional scanning, right? We own IP, and we continue to proliferate that around the world. Now, 3D scanning essentially allows you to know what the shape, size, color, and many attributes about the thing that you're looking at are. Now, when we think about the application of that, especially in healthcare, we think that orthopedics is a critical area where we see that there is more and more adoption of robotics, navigation, and AR, VR tools. And all of these systems have this critical challenge in which they have to connect what the digital tool does to the patient. And right now, that's done through pins and arrays and an infrared camera that looks at the field. And we saw that there was a real opportunity to take a three-dimensional scanning device and say, we know what the tissue is doing. We know what the bone is doing. And for us to essentially improve not just the procedure, but the surgeon experience and the patient experience. And last year, we came on this podcast and we said, hey, look, we're going to help you with registration. Registration is the first part of the procedure where you take points, and you alluded to it, maybe 40, 100, or 350 points. And last year we said we could, in that same time, in a fraction of a second, take 376,000 data points, right? They're not subjective, but objective. And then
to clarify for our audience a little bit. So again, when you talk about three-dimensional scanning, you mean using computer vision, or some people call it camera vision, to understand the space that we're looking at, things that we do with our eyes every day. We look at a three-dimensional object and we know its shape, but our computer doesn't know that. It has to be shown how that looks, what that looks like, right? So you've actually figured out the technology that enables a camera to look at a three-dimensional object and recreate a map of that object virtually. Is that correct?
Yeah, and computer vision is one term for it. And another way of saying it is spatial computing. How far away is something? How big is it? And these are things that we take for granted in our own eyes, in our brain, because our brain does a bunch of work just to figure out how far away things are and how big they are and when to press on the brake pedal when the car in front of us stops. And so really, this is a spatial computing solution that is applied to the OR in a new way based on a new technology.
Awesome. Because currently, as you point out, we've got to put these pins on the bones, and then we take a third device, which has a set of reflectors on it. The tip of that is known exactly. The robot knows where that is, the tip of that, based on these reflectors. And so we touch the tip to the bone in like 50, 60 spots, and that allows the software to recreate a dimensional model based on a CT scan. But instead, you're talking about getting, in that same space, 260, 270,000 data points per second, and then rescanning them every second, right? So you have a constant updating of this three-dimensional model.
Yeah, I'm actually going to stop you there, because in explaining how you do it, I'm asking you, as somebody who treats a patient and operates in the OR, do you want to be taking a pointer and putting it on the patient's tissue and saying, this is where things are? Or is it a better experience that the device you used for data and information just simply looks at the patient the same way you do and understands where they are? And what I'm bringing to the table here is, hey, look, how do we improve that experience for you, the surgeon? Because by association, the patient has a better experience and a shorter procedure. And these things are good. And they're particularly good in an environment where surgeons are being asked to do more procedures in less time for less money. And we would like to add to improving that equation for hospitals and for patients and certainly for surgeons.
Oh, for sure. Not only is it much, much better not to have to do it, but the accuracy goes up, because those pins that I put in the bone originally, as the procedure goes on, they loosen and they move, and the accuracy of the data points that this robot is using go down. The need to go and recheck every cut with the same probes adds time if you're trying to be sure that you got your cuts where you thought there would be. So many areas where this opportunity to improve this, and the fact that you guys can get so many data points instantaneously without me doing anything is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that we haven't even got to the thing that we are most excited about. Let's talk about it, because it's the reason we're here. And I'll argue that it may be the biggest announcement of the year, or maybe the biggest announcement of the company's history. And last year, the reason it's important to bring to you specifically is that last year we committed to this. And execution is a core tenet of what we do at Visy. We say what we're going to do, and then we go and do it. And we're really proud of our confidence in carrying things out on time. But that being said, is this year at DocSF, we announced continuous anatomic auto tracking. So just a moment ago, you asked me a question about doing it every second or taking a ton of data points, 200 or 300,000 at once. One of the biggest breakthroughs that we can do as a company is to essentially move this from being a one-time scan, which is like a photograph, to a movie. And I'll tell you, I went to a lot of meetings earlier this year, 6 months ago, where lots of people said, give up. You're not going to solve this. It's an impossible problem. And the truth of the matter is that I'm very happy to be able to announce that we've essentially solved this. Now, dozens of times a second, we're able to look at the patient's anatomy, their bone, their tissue, their skin, and understand what's happening and interpret various gathering of frames and encoding of photons, and then matching it to preoperative images and doing that in fractions and fractions of seconds over and over and over within an accuracy measure that we believe will be compelling to the FDA. So we are really excited about this breakthrough. It is a big breakthrough for our company, continuous anatomic auto tracking. And we're really proud that we were able to do it in the time frame and under the commitment that we said we do.
And continuous anatomic auto tracking, for those of you who weren't lucky enough to see the videos either on LinkedIn or at DocSF this year, means that as, for example, you're bending a knee or extending a knee or just moving it through a range of motion, the camera is truly tracking throughout that time frame and recreating the model so that you never have to stop what you're doing. You can just keep operating, and it will give you a real-time view, three-dimensional reconstruction of the tissues you're working on and how you've changed them. Like if you've cut through them, now it's going to give you a model of the cut bone. So you don't have to go back immediately and re-register it. You know exactly where if your cut was what you thought it would be, right, Doug?
Yes, exactly. And being able to give you live real-time updates on the tissue you're looking at, whether it's a verification of a bone cut or, hey, in a revision, I removed a femur and the cement pulled some bone with it or the press fit pulled some with it. And now I have a different scenario than I saw in the preoperative image. How do I handle it through augments or whatever? These are critical elements to help the surgeon make decisions. Now, I actually want to draw back because you had a guest that Doc has set this year, Hans Peter from Google, that I thought was really remarkable. But one of the things that he said is, you know, look, I put a video on and a robot traces a knee through a range of motion. And we think that's really compelling. Sometimes people say, oh, that's kind of simple. Well, is that special? It actually is very special when you understand. And Hans Peter from Google says, hey, look, when you see this robot that we have at Google opening a door, a million times we had to train. There was a million cycles of training a robot to turn a doorknob to make it work. And so often we see the cuts of these videos that they're saying, oh, the robotics are here. It's so easy. Actually, the work that goes in the background is very complicated. And the other things I'll pull in from Hans Peter's talk is that don't mistake a clear vision with an easy path because, hey, look, we see where we're going, but getting there is really treacherous sometimes. And carving away into uncharted territory is really something special that we do as a company. And I can't miss an opportunity to thank the many PhDs that work at Visy and the people who have biomedical degrees, the people from Stanford and MIT and University of Texas in Austin who bring their talents to bear on our problems and really have made us do something special. So I didn't want to miss an opportunity to plug the really great team of really hardworking and intelligent people that make this happen. Because when we hear, hey, you should give up, this problem is impossible, that's the fuel that pushes the machine here to do something special.
And you guys have done something special. Let's talk a little bit about how it actually works so that people understand. You're mapping a surface. The surface in this case could be cartilage, could be a defect in the cartilage or bone. It could be a defect created by removing an implant. It's just a surface. How do we, since we mostly use CT scans as referent points, and this is still a CT-based imaging system, how do we know when the surface being scanned is bone or cartilage?
Great question. And I'm lucky the head of IP and IP lawyer is not sitting in this room because he'd give me the gaffe here as I attempt to go into this in some detail. Look, it is a very fun problem here at Visy is that when we take a three-dimensional scan of the tissue, we see what your eyes see. So we see cartilage and we see periosteum, we see skin. Often a preoperative image is a CT that only sees bone. And so now you have a very fun problem. I'm calling it fun because it often is not, of relating two objects that are not the same object. Okay. And so what I'll do here on this call is say that we've developed not just on the hardware side to do these three-dimensional scans, but we've had to develop a whole arm of our business that looks at understanding what you're looking at and how do you correlate it? Because really what the goal is to create the superposition, meaning the same position of the CT to a picture of bone and cartilage in space. And we're really excited about having that capability in the organization. And arguably that's a giant value driver for us. It's one thing to look at tissue, but it's another thing to know what it is. I'll also give you a wink here that this organization was born on the idea that understanding what things are made of is important. And so we get very deep in our PhD optical physics to understand what tissues are made up of and how do they respond when you point this device at them. And so I won't go any further than that. And I'll give you a nod that we're really excited about it. And we're thinking it's something that's unique to us and something that drives unique value in our organization. But I'll have to stop there before the lawyers tackle me.
But you think you've solved the problem. You can do the superimposition.
The hip center is not even the hardest problem we think about here. But yeah, with a preoperative image, yes. Without a preoperative image, yes, still very confident, very excited about what we're doing.
That'd be amazing if we get the imageless, huh? That'd be phenomenal. And also you talked about the applications go beyond robotics and navigation, AR and VR. Want to get more into that?
Yeah, I want to touch on this because I think it helps define us as what we are as a company. Really, I'm not a robotics company. I'm not a navigation company. I'm not an AR/VR. All those technologies are proving out in different ways in different areas of medicine every day. And we're not here to take a bet or to say which one is better. What we really have set ourselves out to do is solve that very complicated problem of connecting the technology to the tissue and to the bone. And so that's what we do. And you can lift and shift this solution into multiple platforms. And that's what we're intending to do is to say, hey, look, if you need to do this in AR/VR, absolutely. If you need to do it in robotics, absolutely. And we're excited primarily in orthopedics first, but we do have roots of the company looking at brain shift. So you know, do a craniotomy and a brain moves during a procedure and you're trying to put a BCI, a brain deep brain interface lead into the brain, you want to know where the brain is. So those are all parts of this company that often we don't openly publicize as much, but are in our lineage and are part of who we are. And we're excited about the tool solving lots of problems in healthcare.
I always try to summarize things down to their most core and simple elements. And it seems to me that Visy is creating an interface for computers to the visual data that we have access to.
I'm nodding my head yes and smiling because I'm on a podcast. Look, we talk so much about AI, and I often have downplayed the AI elements of this company. Look, we are producing a unique data layer that looks at the tissue and has a number of attributes that previously were not, that go unrealized. The level of data, you know, you said 376,000 data points, those are real. And does that have impact on phenotypes and personalized surgery? Absolutely. And so when you look at tools like AI that need to feed on data, we are producing a new level of data and a data layer that is really special. So I often downplay our AI attempts, but trust that we are very diligently working away in the background to make sure that we make sense of that in this world.
Phenomenal. So Doug Fairbanks, thank you so much for coming on the Digital Orthopedics Podcast and to tell us a little bit about Visy and these absolutely translational research you're doing, taking some remarkable sort of PhD basic science technology into the field so that we can access these insane data sets that allow us to really see, or allow us to see our robots or our computers to see the world we see the way we see it, which is actually pretty much a huge step forward. It's amazing. Congratulations on everything you've done, particularly in achieving the milestones you set for yourselves very publicly. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, thank you. And before we wrap here, I want to issue a real heartfelt thank you to you, Stefano, and to DocSF. You know, in a time when you're a startup and you need to cast a vision into the world, it's really great and a relief to have other people who can believe and see vision too and help you find a way to bring it to others. So I wasn't pandering to you when I said that DocSF was a critical element of our growth and our development. Thank you for believing in us and helping us get the vision out there. And it seems as though it's catching now. And I want to thank everybody who continues to be supportive of the company. We want this technology to treat patients and to do it in a better way. And so I'll tell you to continue to engage with us at Visy. There's more to see. Thank you.
At Visy, there's more to see. Thank you. Have a great day, and we'll come back soon with more edition of the podcast. In particular, we'll be looking at bringing you the recordings from the Digital Orthopedics Conference, San Francisco 2024. But now I'm going to bid you goodbye. Stefano Beni from DocSF. Bye-bye.